This is SciPodcast episode 40, Brazil GP.
Are you going to play that all the way through this show?
Yeah, Frank's leaving. I'm sad.
Unless it's happy French pop music. Can you stop it?
Fine. We've been looking for work for him. We asked the question over on the Renault blog and they said no.
What did they say?
They said, it's fair to say that's unlikely, Christine. FKM did a good job for us, but I don't think he figures in our future plans.
FKM?
Yeah.
What's the K?
It's Frank.
Right. You support a guy who uses his middle initial is the end of his first name?
Yeah. What's wrong with that?
Weirdo.
We're holding out for BMW or ProDrive, but neither are likely to happen.
Yeah.
Talking of ProDrive, Bernie has chimed in on the customer car debate. He said, I think they have decided to give up, haven't they? I should think there will be 11 teams next year. Let's see who the 12th is. I would like to see another manufacturer coming in. There is one or two sort of having a look.
I think that might be a warning shot for Williams. E.g., if you're not going to let ProDrive come in, I'll find another manufacturer. See how you like that.
Coincidentally, this weekend, significant progress has been made to allow the customer cars in the competition. According to GrandPrix.com, the compromise appears to centre on Toro Rosso and Super Aguri being allowed to run customer cars for two seasons, during which they can build up the infrastructure necessary to become proper constructors in 2010.
See, a quick prod from Bernie, everything's alright again.
Well, you say it's Bernie, but Vijay Mallya has finally come up with the name of his new team, Force India F1. Cue lots of jokes about may the force be with you. As we mentioned before, Spyker may be letting go of the customer car row a little bit in order that the teams will agree to the name change. He also said they've decided on the colours of the team, the same as the Indian flag, which is green, white and orange. So Bernie might have been encouraging, but it's not all his doing.
Oh, fair enough then.
He wasn't king of PR all week.
Bernie?
Though, no.
No.
He was talking about how good it would be for Hamilton to win, especially because of his colour.
Right.
He also said it is a pity he's not Jewish as well.
Oh, no.
Because then we would have a much bigger audience
no,
then.
No, Bernie, no.
Or Muslim, actually, not Jewish, because there are much more Muslims.
He didn't say that. Tell me he didn't say that.
Well, he did. And aside from that being rubbish grammar,
right.
That's just wrong.
It is. And I guess you can only attribute it to senility setting in. Time to go, Bernie.
Massa has re-signed for Ferrari until 2010. He's very happy about it, although apparently contracts don't mean as much as they used
and
to.
And why is that?
It's rumoured that Barrichello and Trulli, although they have pieces of paper, they may not have a race drive next year.
Okay.
Toyota team principal John Howitt said, Yano has a contract for next year. Is his 2008 seat secure? That's a difficult question to answer.
Oh, straight answer as always then.
GrandPrix.com are claiming, along with Schumacher, Liuzzi and Yamamoto, Trulli may also be in line for a Spyker test in mid-November.
Jeez.
So what was all that fuss with Jensen and his contract a couple of years ago?
Well, I guess maybe he set the standard for how things are today. It's all his fault, really. Contracts mean nothing.
On to Free Practice 1. It was a controversial session to kickstart the weekend. A damp track meant it was declared a wet session, which means the teams are allowed to use wet tyres. Rubens Barrichello seemed very at home on the damp track. He got quicker and quicker and was top of the timing sheets halfway through the session.
Amazing what a home advantage does for you.
Ferrari and McLaren both sat out the first part of the session. Hamilton was the first of the four to go for a run, and his first outing saw him in 16th.
16th. 1-6.
Yep.
Wonderful.
Raikkonen and Massa finally went out 10 minutes before the end. Alonso just did an installation lap and then gave up.
Lazy git.
Hamilton improved to 5th, but only after taking on another set of tyres.
Controversy.
The fastest three were Raikkonen, Massa and Kovalainen. After the first session was over, an FIA delegate reported back that three of the drivers had used two sets of extreme wet tyres during the session.
Who were they?
They were Lewis Hamilton, Takuma Sato and Jenson Button. The sporting regulations state...
Article 25.3.
No driver may use more than one set of wet and one set of extreme weather tyres during P1 and P2. The drivers had to go and see the stewards. Ron Dennis said it was 100% the team's mistake, and so the result was the teams were fined €15,000 and the extra set of tyres was confiscated. But that won't make too much difference at all for a dry race.
It was a minor infringement and the penalty did fit the crime. People were worried that we wouldn't get to see the three championship protagonists duke it out side by side, and the FIA may interfere and intervene in the proceedings before they actually got going. Luckily, they kept well out of it.
Free Practice 2 was nowhere near as exciting. It was much drier. The teams came out earlier. There seemed to be a problem with the soft tyres graining, quite a big problem, almost as bad as in Canada.
That's because Bridgestone bought the soft and the super soft to this racetrack, which they also use in Monaco, even though this track is nothing like Monaco.
None of the teams seemed to be able to get a good lap out of them. Hamilton seemed to have the edge over Alonso, despite the fact that he'd never seen the track before this weekend.
He's good at that.
The fastest three were Hamilton, Alonso and Massa. Free practice three was hot and sunny. Kubica had a breakdown.
The heat will do that to you?
No, his car.
Not a mental breakdown. No, I thought it was the end of the season. It's been a long season.
Heidfeld was running in 15th, so a pretty poor start to Saturday for the BMWs. Massa appeared to overtake whilst the yellow flags were being waved for Kubica.
There was a little bit of concern on Saturday evening that actually might come back and bite Massa. Luckily, nothing happened.
In the increased temperature, the super softs had the edge over the soft tyres, but they weren't up for many laps.
No, going to make for an interesting third section of the race.
The fastest three were Massa, Hamilton and Raikkonen. We haven't complained about ITV for a while, so there's just a few things that I want to mention.
Oh, go on then.
The primetime television slot meant that ITV hauled out their F1 Insight with Martin Brundle.
Bring out the big guns.
Why don't we ever get to see that any other time? It's so unfair. Louise Goodman did an interview with Nelson Piquet and he was tugging on her clothes, which was really odd.
She was wearing something peculiar this weekend. Was it dressed down Friday or something?
Well, you only say that because usually she's wearing the fireproof overalls.
Yeah. Do you think she was celebrating the end of the season a bit early?
He certainly was.
Careful, David, you get jealous.
They also said that the ITV F1 website had grown to be one of the most respected and up-to-date websites on the sport.
Says who?
They forgot to mention Biased.
Right. Did they quote any sources for that kind of evidence?
No.
Just because they said so?
Yeah.
Respected.
Also, I noticed some dodgy colours on the camera.
That's not ITV's fault, though. That's just what the cameras look like in Brazil.
It was all faded and the reds were pink.
And then sometimes they were purple. Occasionally they were red.
In Quali 1, Sutil pulled off the road after only a couple of laps. He had a fuel pressure problem. The times were pretty slow compared to the practice sessions, including Lewis Hamilton, who was an entire second off his morning pace. Alonso's lap left him in 8th, so where he would usually head back to the garage and rest for a bit, he actually had to come out and do another lap with all the slower people.
He wasted a set of tyres there, compared to his teammate.
Yamamoto did several flying laps, but at no point could he get higher than Sutil, who wasn't even running.
That's terrible.
Button scraped into 16th place, and it did not look good enough, especially because Kovalainen was behind him, but Kovi remained in 17th due to a big mistake on his last lap.
Not good from him. Not good at all. You'd have put money on the guy beating Button, and he messed it up.
The fastest three were Massa, Alonso and Raikkonen, and dropping out, Kovalainen, Sato, Nakajima, Davidson, Sutil and Yamamoto. In Quali 2, no one went out until Ralph hit the track with 11 minutes remaining. With 9 minutes to go, everyone was out but the two BMWs. Then with 4 minutes to go, everyone was in but the two BMWs.
Slightly out of sync then.
Apparently, Trulli was qualifying in the T car because he didn't like the way his Friday chassis was working.
He did try it out Saturday morning and got on with it a lot better, so he stuck with it for qualifying.
The fastest three were Raikkonen, Hamilton and Massa, and dropping out Barrichello, Fisichella, Vettel, Liuzzi, Schumacher and Button.
Button not happy at all at this track.
Hamilton headed up the queue in the third session, followed by Alonso. There were quite a few of them sat there with their engines overheating, with over a minute to go. Alonso appeared to be hassling Hamilton around the first few corners, but not really close enough for any major manoeuvres. Raikkonen came into the pits first, then Massa. Trulli was let out almost in Kubica's path.
Only saved, actually, by a Red Bull mechanic who managed to stop the guy. Bad disorganisation from the Toyota boys.
Hamilton and Alonso pitted at the same time, so Alonso had to wait behind, and I was worried there would be a hungry incident.
But McLaren have that guy in the pits this week, didn't they? The FIA inspector, making sure that things like that wouldn't happen.
The final grid positions were Massa, Hamilton, Raikkonen, Alonso, Webber, Heidfeld, Kubica, Trulli, Coulthard and Rosberg.
Blinding lap from Mr. Hamilton again. Didn't he do that last race?
Yeah.
Wow.
He's like nowhere the whole weekend and then he just pulls out a stunner.
Middle sector, brilliant. Very, very good. Massa was much lighter than him and he did a really good job in that qualifying. Apparently Coulthard was carrying a bit of a handicap during the last qualifying session because the team didn't manage to fill up his fuel levels to quite the right amount, so he had to eke out the fuel during the session.
BMW have qualified both cars in the top 10 for every race, although a penalty for Kubica in Belgium means they didn't start every race in the top 10, but only McLaren have been able to match that.
Good statistic.
The grid is a bit weird in Brazil.
Describe weird.
It's difficult to get in and out of, so when the mechanics were all running really fast to get out of the way, it kind of looked like the London Marathon.
It's a little bit, isn't it?
All these little bodies just running really fast. I think they had to come up with some new rules for it if the race was red flagged.
Ah, well, it was primetime TV and they didn't want to overrun it spilling into Coronation Street. So they had to make sure that if the race was restarted, the mechanics wouldn't have to run up and down the grid. So they made sure that if it did, they'd start from the pit lane just to keep proceedings speeding up, you know.
Sutil was starting from the pit lane, presumably still struggling with his free practice problems.
Yep, they have had all manner of issues with that car over the course of the weekend, and it didn't get any better on Sunday.
Raikkonen got past Hamilton off the line and was side by side with Massa, but had to fall behind him in the first corner. In doing so, he held up Hamilton, which allowed Alonso to get past as well. Hamilton tried to regain his position, but ran really wide, lost tons of places. He ended up back in eighth.
Well, Kimi locked a tyre, I think, going into the corner. And that had a bit of a wobble on, and that held him up, which made Hamilton have to back off, letting Alonso in down the side. Hamilton then panicked unnecessarily and decided he wanted that position back, when quite reasonably he could have just sat behind Alonso for the rest of the race. Went a bit over the top, went around the outside, ended up off the track. Not too smart.
An unusual show of inexperience there, I think.
Maybe just a bit of pressure creeping in.
Kovalainen hit Schumacher, sending the Renault into the pits. Yamamoto ran into the back of Fisichella.
Didn't he?
Because Fisichella had run off the track and come back onto the racing line.
Which is not clever.
They both had to pit and they both retired.
Yeah. Put the blame on Fissy for that one. The only excuse he may have had was perhaps he had no idea that there was any cars left on the track and Yamamoto was so far behind that he just didn't expect anyone. He must have thought, I'm the last now, it doesn't matter. That's possibly the only excuse we could give him, because really he shouldn't have come straight onto the racing line like that.
At the front, Massa was pulling away, so Raikkonen started punching in some fast laps. He's good at that. Barrichello was investigated for jumping the start, and he was given a drive-through penalty for it.
Overexcitement in his home race. The fans were cheering. He was just, you know, giving them something to look at.
Hamilton got past Trulli straight away, and Heidfeld practically let him through. But on the next lap, he slowed right down. Cars were streaming past him. He couldn't find any gears.
Of all the races...
He coasted round a couple of corners, then seemed to pick it up again. All we know is that his gearbox was sent a wrong command.
Actually, the reason we don't know very much about the situation is because ITV were an ad break at that point. You'd have thought, given primetime TV slot, they'd have made a bit more money from their advertisers and they could have a few less adverts. They actually missed two key moments during the race, and thankfully, Radio 5 Live were giving us the coverage.
Well, also, I don't know whose fault this is, but on the TV, they were showing replays of him going really slowly.
Yes.
After the event, obviously, but they didn't say it was a replay, so no one actually knew whether he was having more problems or what we were watching, and it caused mass confusion.
Yeah, they used to have a replay thing in the corner. We commented on that not so long ago, didn't we?
Yeah.
And now it's gone again. Not a clue what was going on. It thought it kept breaking down.
But he wasn't. He was fine and back up to top speed after dropping back all that way, but almost immediately passing some of the slower cars, he settled in 16th. Not for long, though. Davidson let him past. Weber retired. I'm not even going to bother to say why.
No.
And Nakajima was no problem, so then Hamilton started chasing Button. Kubica came into the pits first. Massa was next with no major problems. Raikkonen only stayed out for one extra lap from him, and Alonso stayed one lap after them both. Button retired. I was saying that if he could do one useful thing this weekend, it would be to get in Hamilton's way a bit, and then he retired.
And why did he retire?
The engine was overheating.
Didn't Ted warn us of that not so long ago?
Ted Kravitz?
Yeah, we said something back in, was it episode 32? When he was talking about Honda in Turkey, and he suggested they had a lubrication problem that meant they get scuffing of the bore. So basically, in hot races, they're stuffed.
It didn't matter anyway because Hamilton came into the pits. He had a really short stop and changed to the super soft tyre.
Or as we now know it, the useless tyre.
Sutil tried to barge past Davidson on the inside of a corner.
No chance.
There was no room. They both spun. Sutil carried on. Davidson had to pit, but he did carry on. The incident was investigated and Sutil was given a drive-through penalty.
Does that mean he won't get Rookie of the Year now?
Hamilton fought past Barrichello and started chasing down Vettel. Kubica was pressuring Alonso for third position. Nakajima came into the pits either at the wrong angle or he forgot to stop or something.
I think it was both, wasn't it? Wrong angle and couldn't stop because he was at the wrong angle.
He ran down two of his mechanics.
Nasty.
They carried on with the pit stop very bravely.
One leg.
And then one of them limped off and the other one was holding his back.
Yeah.
They were taken to hospital and they're okay, but I imagine they're in some pain.
It's one hell of a way to make your Grand Prix debut, isn't it?
No one's really talking about it. The team don't want to blame anyone. But
would that be because they don't want to upset Toyota? They seem to kind of brush over the whole situation in their post-race review.
Kubica got past Alonso and Hamilton got past Vettel.
I think Alonso was on a longer stint and Kubica was on a slightly different strategy. He had a lighter car and I guess Alonso just thought, get out of my way, stop hassling me, and he led him through.
Schumacher came into the pits, a really long pit stop because they were struggling with a damaged wheel nut, possibly from the collision he had with Kovalainen right at the very beginning.
Sounds about right, didn't it?
Vettel retired, hydraulics, gears, power steering, all lost. At half distance, Hamilton came in for another pit stop, fueled him for only another 18 laps, so presumably they'd changed his strategy to a three-stop.
That seems like a pretty good strategy, actually. The super soft tyres we know were negligible, so leave him on those for the smallest amount of time, and get him in for another stop and send him out on the hard tyres again.
Kovalainen crashed into the barriers, which is really funny.
No, it's not.
Not because I'm evil and laugh at crashes, but because you were just saying to me about 5 minutes before the race started that Kovalainen was the only driver to finish all 17 races. And I was like, don't jinx it.
Well, I did say right.
And you did.
Yeah, I said make a note of that because we've got to mention it in the podcast. You know, 17 out of 17. Boy's done well.
Look what happened.
He's walloped into the barrier.
You ruined it. I blame you.
Yeah, sorry, Kovalainen. Sorry.
Barrichello came into the pits and caught fire.
I didn't see him catching fire.
You were too busy pacing up and down.
Well, it was getting a bit stressful at that point.
You were all anxious.
It was quite a stressful race and, you know, someone's got to pace.
No points at all this season for poor Barrichello.
No, very disappointing, but he didn't seem too bothered about the whole thing.
Massa locked up going into a corner, which allowed Raikkonen to catch right up behind him and start pressuring him. I got a bit confused at this point because the live timing was showing Sutil as running behind Barrichello, who had retired, for several laps, and I can't see how that's right.
I think Sutil was that far down that it took quite a while for him to unlap the non-existent Barrichello.
It's irrelevant anyway because Sutil retired with damage from his incident with Davidson, but it was bizarre.
Yes.
In the next round of pit stops, Raikkonen came out in front of Massa.
Three.
And Alonso remained behind. Ooh. So if things stayed as they were, Raikkonen was on course to take the win and the championship.
Three.
Hamilton pitted with 15 laps to go, another quick stop. He got past David Coulthard on his outlap and started setting fastest laps, so he wasn't going to give up that easily. Kubica got past both Heidfeld and Rosberg because they were so busy almost hitting each other that they weren't looking at who was behind them.
That was a stressful moment, wasn't it? If those two cars took each other out, Hamilton would suddenly be right back in the world championship. Oh.
Coulthard went for a no-space manoeuvre on Nakajima, to the one Sutil pulled earlier, but this time Nakajima just scampered away whilst Coulthard spun. He carried on, though. Trulli came into the pits out of Hamilton's way. He was up to seventh and was chasing down the next place, but he just ran out of laps. His championship fight was over. The final points positions were Raikkonen, Massa, Alonso, Rosberg, Kubica, Heidfeld, Hamilton and Trulli. The Drivers' Championship has a new champion, Kimi Raikkonen, with 110 points. Hamilton and Alonso both have 109 points and equal wins, but Hamilton pips Alonso on second-place finishes. Massa is fourth with 94 points and Heidfeld in fifth with 61 points. In the Constructors' Championship, Ferrari break through the 200 mark with 204 points, BMW break through the 100 mark with 101, Renault have 51, Williams have 33 and Red Bull have 24. Stop your cheering.
I am celebrating.
Stop your drinking as well, then. It's not that simple.
Why not?
Following the race, a surprisingly happy Alonso congratulated a deserving Raikkonen and went on to blame his team for his losing the title. Nice.
So I like it surprisingly happy. For a man who just lost the world championship, that was a grin he had on him.
Soon afterwards, just after Raikkonen smiled. Did you catch that? He smiled. It was like...
You don't want to be doing that, do you? If ever you're going to incur the wrath of the FIA, it'd be that smiling and celebrating business.
Joe Bauer, FIA technical delegate, issued a statement confirming that the fuel temperatures of BMW and Williams cars were outside the regulations during the course of the Grand Prix. Why do they even have a rule for that?
Well, Article 6.5.5 of the technical regulations states that no fuel on board the car may be more than 10 degrees centigrade below the ambient temperature. A lower temperature fuel is advantageous because it increases the horsepower of the engine and it reduces the amount of time it takes to put fuel into the car. However, it does mean the car would require more fuel and thus be slightly heavier. So the advantage is negligible.
How does the fuel being cooler make it go in the car quicker?
It's less dense. A simplified explanation would be like pouring treacle into an engine versus pouring water into an engine. Water is less dense and therefore it goes in quicker.
We don't advise pouring treacle into your engine, though.
It might help Button, actually.
After many hours of deliberation, the stewards decided not to penalise either of the teams because they couldn't prove the petrol was outside the permitted limit.
Yeah, the stewards said there was a discrepancy between FOM's measurement equipment and the air temperature provided by a company called Meteo France, who I'd never heard of, but apparently there's some independent weather people that the FAA use. The stewards said there must be sufficient doubt as to the temperature of the fuel actually on board the car, and also as to the true ambient temperature, as to render it inappropriate to impose a penalty. Which is not a great sentence, is it? But you get the gist of it. They didn't have enough proof. They couldn't do a lot about it.
So at that point, we went to bed happy. It'd been a long day, so pretty tired.
Yeah, pretty drunk.
And a bit drunk. When we woke up, McLaren had notified the FIA of their intent to appeal the decision.
Which is nice, really, you know, to end the championship on an appeal.
Here are some selected responses. Luca de Montezemolo: it looks to me like it is a useless stress for everyone. Enough of that, let's look ahead and let's send professional stewards to the races instead of amateurs at large.
I didn't actually know there were amateurs. Interesting point.
Seems a bit harsh, because the stewards said it was fine. It's McLaren that are causing the troubles.
I guess if they were professionals, there would be less ambiguity.
Alonso said it would be a joke, and we've had too many already. If something like that happened, it would end up burying the sport. Martin Whitmarsh said, we feel if we hadn't lodged our intention to appeal, we would surely have been criticised by fans and Formula One insiders alike.
Not by anyone I know, but fair enough.
Hamilton said, it would feel weird after Kimi did such a fantastic job in the last two races. He won yesterday, and have it taken away is a bit cruel and probably not good for the sport.
That is a good quote. That's a fair response for a man who's just lost the World Championship and stands to potentially regain it through this appeal. I like that answer.
Even he knows it's stupid.
Yeah. And, you know, you're not going to get much respect for that. He didn't win the championship on the day. And Kimi did.
Don't you think they put the steward in the wrong garage?
You think they should have been keeping an eye on BMW and Williams?
Yeah, they put this guy in to observe McLaren. Looking in the wrong place.
Very good point. So what do you make of this ruling, this steward's decision and the appeal?
Well, I was really happy because I've never watched a sport where the person I wanted to win actually won.
You have been backing Kimi.
Most of the time I'm cheering on the Brit, which means I'm doomed. And of course, we tend to jinx things. So Raikkonen won and I was happy, and now I'm not.
No.
And for me to feel like this so soon after the event is just wrong. It's stupid, it's petty, it's wrong. McLaren reckon they would be ridiculed if they didn't pick up on it. I wonder what kind of image they think they're portraying with this.
Mm.
Petty, mindless, bitter, just some of the words that spring to mind.
And all this from the man who early in the year said he wanted closure from all the problems Formula One was facing. How is this closure? A point I would like to bring up is that last year, do you remember when Button got his first win?
Yes.
We were like, yay, Jenson Button, first win and all that. And I said to you, yeah, it's Sunday. There's no point celebrating on Sunday because they're bound to find something illegal with that car. Fuel tank, wing, barge board, something going to be wrong. Wait till Monday, then you can celebrate it.
You remember did that? Say that, yeah.
That's a ridiculous way to enjoy a sport, isn't it?
Yeah.
Let's watch a race, let's enjoy the race, then let's check the internet every 10 minutes for the next 24 hours until we know who actually won the race. I think NASCAR have it sussed.
This is what you said in your blog post.
Yeah, I just like to, you know, ram the point home for anyone who's not reading every word I say. The fact of the matter is, when fans exit the gate from a NASCAR race, they know who won the race, they know what the positions of their favourite drivers were, and those positions stand regardless of what happens in post-race scrutineering. Teams can get docked points, drivers can be fined, but the race winner is still the race winner when the fans get home.
So as it stands, as we're recording this, we're waiting to see if the stewards accept the appeal, if and when it will be heard. At least this way, Raikkonen can celebrate all over again.
Oh, so can we.
When he is confirmed champ.
Yay!
So anyway, on to our review of the actual race.
Oh yeah, we haven't done that yet.
Yeah, the first corner incident.
Hamilton.
Bit unnecessary, definitely some pressure creeping in there.
Yes, it's the win it all cost mentality. Not our finish fourth. Fourth would have been fine. Just trail the other guys, stay close to them, you'll still win it.
Do we think that him going off there might have contributed to the gearbox problems at all?
It could have done. It could have damaged something. He could have got something caught. It could have disrupted whatever sensors there are in the car, then it made it think there was a problem, and therefore it shut itself down. We had a good comment on the blog, though, which was an interesting alternative viewpoint.
Yes, Buck Sword Monkey, I think that's how you say it, that's a great name. He said, will the conspiracists be saying EM pulsar weapon, take Lewis out?
I think what he's talking about there is the theory that last year Schumacher's engine blew up at an inappropriate moment in the championship. And there's a rumour, or there are a number of rumours going around, that potentially you could blow up an engine or a mechanical device from afar with an electromagnetic device. But it would have to be huge, and you'd struggle to sneak that into a Grand Prix venue. I mean, people would kind of notice it. So I'm not entirely sure there's much substance to that story.
According to pitpass.com, a usually reliable source has told them that Lewis accidentally touched the wrong button, which meant the system had to reload and start again.
Yes, in more than possible, and the most likely story, I think. Ron Dennis hasn't denied it, has he?
Well, he says, there was an incorrect command given to the system. Why did the system get an incorrect command? We don't know yet. And that's just like when he said Lewis didn't say the F word. Don't listen to what he's telling you. Listen to what he's not telling you, because he's very smart.
Yes, he didn't say that Lewis didn't swear. He said Lewis didn't say the F word. And this time, it was incorrect command, but by whom? Also of note, their post-race press release makes no mention of the problem. And considering it was the key moment of the race, you'd think they might allude to something about it. The last person to succumb to pressure in this way, I think, was Takuma Sato, who accidentally switched off his BAR on the way to the grid on the warm-up lap. And that spelled the end of his career at BAR. Obviously, he's still racing today in another team, but for BAR, that was the end of it. That was like the straw that broke the camel's back. It was that big of a mistake, that silly thing to do.
And apparently Villeneuve's also done that in his day as well. So why have the button if it's going to cause all that trouble?
Well, it's a start button and you have to start the car. One would assume that when the car's running, maybe it should switch itself off. And presumably someone like Ferrari is probably ahead of the game and probably theirs does switch off. Just McLaren haven't caught on to it yet. I bet BAR's does the same thing, actually.
Hamilton did well to fight back through the field. To be honest, until his very last pit stop, I really believed that he was going to win it and do it in style.
Yeah,
I wasn't happy about it, but I believed that he was going to do it because he is that good.
It would be a great fight back, wouldn't it? What a great story. Almost like Schumacher last year. And again, almost wasn't quite good enough.
Alonso didn't do anything. This race, boring.
Yeah, the first corner manoeuvre was a key point because it obviously unsettled Hamilton, which led to all the other errors. But in reality, the guy did not very much at all.
Renault had a bad race.
Yeah, it kind of sums up their year, doesn't it?
They're another team that need to forget this year. Start again for next one. And Honda.
Oh, woe betide the Earth car.
And Ralph said goodbye to his Toyota team with a very standard drive. Boring drive.
Goodbye with a flourish or not.
Unfortunately, Nakajima's kind of made a name for himself now, running people over.
Yeah, he won't be forgotten in a hurry.
Presumably the mechanics will be wearing shin pads next time he's in the in the box.
Rookie of the year? Not him.
And Rosberg had his best ever result in Formula One.
Yeah. Yep, very good. And he picked a fine time to do it.
It's been a much better season for Williams.
It has, actually. It really has.
Aside from the running people over bit.
Yeah. And what, an illegal fuel? Obviously, the season last year was terrible by their standards, and they've done a really good job of raising their game, and they've finished in the place they deserve to finish in. Very good. A last mention should go to Ron, who has always claimed throughout the year that he wanted equality for his drivers. And at the end of the year, the final result, that's exactly what he got, with both drivers on the same points, with exactly the same number of wins, and the only difference between them was their second place finishes. That's equality, Ron. Well done. You came home with nothing.
This week, when iTunes updated their featured podcasts on the homepage, F1 Minute was on there.
Oh, yes.
Well, on the American site anyway. It's meant an enormous spike in our listeners, so hello to all the new people.
Hi, I'm the least important one.
I'm not telling you this to show off. The thing is, Bernie thinks Formula One isn't popular in America, but he's clearly very wrong. BMW believe so too, because they're taking their pit lane park to Las Vegas. I had an email from Chris in Seattle who was asking whether it was worth the effort to go down and see it. I told him our experience of the pit lane park at Silverstone, which was mostly just a view from the outside. The queues were much too long and we have absolutely no patience, but those that did get in seemed to have a good time. So if you can get to Las Vegas, I would say it is worth the effort, if only to prove Bernie wrong.
He is so wrong. F1, popular in America, we can prove it. Listen to us, Bernie.
And while we're on the subject of F1 Minute, I will keep you updated all week with the stewards' decisions and the FIA's newest conspiracies. So stay tuned, and we'll talk about it next week.